Hello, my name is Josh McCarthy, and I want to welcome you to this edition of Hard Worka on the PTJG Broadcast Network. This show is dedicated to you, the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to some of the nation's most innovative companies, and he explores some of the career journeys behind some of the country's most influential individuals. And this is all done with an honest and oh-so-entertaining filter that is unique to Pete the Job Guy Langlois. Take it away, Pete.
Hello, all you hard workers. Well, you did it. You made one of the best decisions you're going to make all day. And what is that? You're listening to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. And this show is all about helping you folks. I give you career advice. I tell you where I've made mistakes in my career, where I've taken a left and I should have taken a right. I don't tell you these things to beat myself up. I tell you what I should have done and what you can do to be more effective and productive in your careers. I also have great guests every week. And the guests come on and they give you information, again, that's going to help you. You're going to learn something. My guests are always exciting and they're in demand. I don't know how I get such incredible guests, but week in and week out, I have some freaking magical people that join me all the time, and this week is no different. I'm going to introduce my guest. I'm going to jump right into it. Now, if I went ahead and read her entire bio, she's quite accomplished. It would take me a while. I'm going to excerpt it, but I'm going to read it because I want to get it right. It's important that I introduce her correctly. Now, Tara Tedrow is my guest. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Tara Tedrow is a shareholder at Lounge, very prestigious law firm, and she's the co-chair of the Cannabis and Controlled Substances Group. Tara's practice focuses on land use and development, and she works with clients statewide on entitling projects for commercial, residential, industrial, office, and mixed uses. The other side of Tara's practice entails working with clients in complex regulated industries such as alcoholic beverage and medical marijuana licensing. Tara is a regular presenter and speaker at industry seminars and conferences and advises a variety of clients on the impacts of marijuana regulation. Tara works with physicians, lenders, real estate developers, landlords, ancillary service providers, licensed medical marijuana treatment centers, and medical marijuana treatment center license applicants, helping them to navigate the ever-changing regulatory landscape of medical marijuana. Additionally, if that wasn't enough, Tara serves as an adjunct professor at the University of Florida Levin College of Law, where she is the first to teach a course on medical marijuana law and policy. Goodness gravy, that's a mouthful. Tara, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Thanks so much, Pete. I appreciate you having me here.
Yeah, you know what I love to do, Tara, if you've listened to the show, which I know you have, is I love to understand your career journey a little bit better. You're a lawyer now. Is that what you always wanted to do? And how'd you get started?
I wish I could say I always wanted to be a lawyer, but I'm not sure that that was the career path until I realized I was really bad at sports, couldn't sing for my life. So everything I thought I might want to do later on just went out the window in high school, and I started doing competitive debate. So once I did competitive debate, that really opened up the doors personally, professionally, and academically for me to set me on the path, a pretty predictable path, I'll say, to becoming a lawyer later on.
You know, Tara, I Googled you up, you know, when I first started talking to you a couple months ago, trying like heck to get you to come on the show. When you Google you, there is no shortage of seeing you on news programs and speaking at events. You're a poised speaker. I hear you. You're extremely knowledgeable on the topics that you talk about. But my gosh, I mean, it seemed like you're in a role that perhaps some people, you know, they evolve and they get into a role. But I think you were born to do what you do. You're special.
And, I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Are you still involved in speech and debate now?
Well, I think the basis of what my job entails is speech and debate all day, every day. But on the side of what I used to do in terms of being a competitive debater in high school and went on to get a college scholarship to Wake Forest University for competitive debate and then did trial team both in undergrad as well as in law school, I came back home and I said, I wish that there were speech and debate programs the way that I used to compete. And I just didn't see them. There was a lack of funding, a lack of resources. There weren't teachers that were still supportive or there for the programs that were there when I was in high school. And so in 2013, I started a group called the Central Florida Debate Initiative with a teacher that I knew from when I was in high school, and she was still coaching competitive debate at Timber Creek High School. And so we started an organization, just the two of us, and it grew over time to where we incorporated a 501c3 nonprofit called the Florida Debate Initiative. And as of the last legislative budget, we were appropriated $925,000 to put in the Florida Debate Initiative on the Florida Department of Education level. So we have the privilege and honor of getting to work with the Florida Education Foundation for their initiative called the Florida Civics and Debate Initiative. And so that is now a statewide effort to get competitive speech and debate into every high school that we can in the state of Florida and to offer it to middle schools if we're able to. And just one really exciting thing, because I always say I could die tomorrow as long as my gravestone will say I put debate in every school. So I'm hoping that I don't die when this happens, because we think it'll be in 3 years that we might get this accomplished. But we were also able, because the Commissioner of Education, Richard Corcoran, incredible supporter, as the governor has been as well, for civics and debate, and just really incredible supporters of the program. And we were also able to get the Marcus Foundation to donate $5 million to the state of Florida. So just a significant amount of resources that are going to be put behind what I think is one of the most profoundly impactful educational initiatives that we can have in this state. It'll set us apart from every other state in the country, and it'll provide opportunities across the board for our students.
That is so exciting, and good for you for doing that. I mean, that's amazing. Okay, I'm going to go here. We're talking about debate right now, and you know, we just saw the vice presidential debate in a nonpartisan way. Okay, I'm not asking. I don't want to dive into politics, but let's talk a little bit about debating styles. You know, are there some tells there and some things you've noticed that maybe you could share?
Yeah, and first and foremost, I will say, if anybody had the probably displeasure of watching the presidential debate the other week, it was difficult. I was trying to stay away from sharp objects and walls that I could bang my head against, because it was very hard as a former competitive debater, because, you know, anybody who is in the world of competitive debate knows that most political debates are really devoid of substance. They are essentially dueling assertions. Nobody gets into a lot of policy. And frankly, it's because of time constraints, and oftentimes, that's really not what the American public wants anyway. It's really a show. We didn't get a very good show the first time around. I think anyone who watched last night would at least say, okay, at least I walked away knowing there was some substance. I think I understand a policy or two for both of the vice presidential candidates. So it was much easier to tolerate and to actually comprehend where both of those candidates stood last night. So for me, presidential debates are my Super Bowl, right? I'm not a big in the sports world, but that is the equivalent of the Super Bowl for me. So I get incredibly excited to watch those. I'm like a kid on Christmas. I can't sleep afterward if I'm all worked up over it. So it was last night was refreshing compared to the other week.
Got it. And I appreciate that perspective. So let's get back to you now, from competitive debater to attorney. You know, talk to us about your practice focuses, your two areas mainly, and I think it might even be broader than that. I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, sure. So I chair what we like to call the vice practice group for my firm. So I deal with regulated industries like alcoholic beverages and cannabis. And so under that umbrella of cannabis, it is medical marijuana in the state of Florida. I represent companies that are in adult use markets and medical markets in other states. And then I also represent hemp companies in Florida and nationwide. In addition to that, I have a land development practice. So I'm part of our firm's land use and zoning practice, where I represent developers all over the state of Florida and getting entitlements for projects that they want. And so it is never a dull moment, Pete. I think I sometimes wish for them, but it is certainly a very interesting practice area to have, and I get to work with, and I feel privileged to work with such great clients.
I want to learn a little bit more about the land development hearings, but that music right there tells us We need to take a quick break and listen to this message from our show sponsor. You're listening to Hard Worka with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.
What's up, Jacksonville? Angie here, partner at Ascendo Resources right here in Jacksonville. Chances are we already know each other because I've been in staffing right here in Jacksonville for 20 years. I'm actually surrounded by a team of staffing professionals that come to work every day and have fun and work hard. If you aren't getting the talent that you need, let me make your life easier. It's one call, 904-479-9610. That's 904-479-9610. And remember, here at Ascendo Resources, we're bringing back the hustle.
Welcome back, all you hard workers. My friends, my guest today is Tara Tedrow. And, you know, if you don't know who she is, you might be an ostrich with your head in the sand. Just Google her up, Tara Tedrow, spelt almost phonetically, T-A-R-A-T-E-D-R-O-W. Tara, we were talking about land development hearings. Now, for a TV guy like me, help me kind of figure out what we're looking at. Is this more akin to Parks and Recreation or Law and Order?
So I always wished that I would be walking into a courtroom with that Law and Order music in the background one day when I was supposed to become a litigator. But fortunately, early on in my career, I realized that I am a huge fan of advocacy. That is my bread and butter, is public hearings and presentations. So I am more in what you would call the people's court than I am in a court of law. So.
Right.
When it comes to the Parks and Rec versus Law and Order, certainly more Parks and Rec. If anybody's watched that show, a lot of those stories ring very true to the things that I see all across the state. But public hearings are in front of elected and appointed officials, so things like city councils, planning commissions, Board of County Commissioners. And so we take our cases in front of those boards to try to obtain approvals for everything from, say, 800 single family homes getting developed somewhere to a mixed use office, retail and residential project, and all across the spectrum of different developments that our clients do.
Right. Exciting. Now, I've never been involved in a debate. Well, I think some amateur debates, you know, you might, you know, my buddies over a couple of beers talking about sports teams and who's better or something like that. But I imagine it has to be, and this is my thought, I don't know this, like 99% preparation. There seems to be a lot of preparation to get out there, and, you know, and by the time you prepare, you own it. You're ready. You're so ready for it and prepared. That's my thought. But now I'm going to ask you, is it something like that? And how has your background in debate prepared you for being a lawyer?
So it's really interesting. I say that what I do for a living is quite literally adult debate, right? Because when it comes to a public hearing, I go, I make a case, people stand up and can speak in opposition. And there's been times that I've walked into a room with no opposition and times that I've walked into a room with quite literally hundreds of people that show up in opposition. And every one of them usually get between 3 and 5 minutes to speak on the record about how much they dislike my project or whatever other colorful language they want to use to describe the situation. And then I am able to give a rebuttal after those folks get to make their case. And that's really the same structure as competitive debate in high school. And so, you know, I went from being fortunate enough to win 3 national championships before I was even 18 years old in competitive debate, which by the way, if I were single, don't ever put that on a dating website. You know, that's the worst part about the internet is that when people like do what you did, Pete, and they Google me and they're like, well, God, this girl really likes to argue. Nobody wants to invite you to any parties until they realize that you're fun to be around. So
right. Let's see. Professional debater. I'm
right.
Out.
Yeah,
check,
exactly.
Please.
Exactly. I know. I like to say I am much nicer and more fun than my resume would lead on to be. But
and I believe that to be a true statement. Now, this is what I love about, like, debating. It seems to be a perfect kind of entryway into setting people up to be an attorney. I mean, it just sounds like if you want to be a litigator, the debate part of it sounds so important. But I imagine that would transfer those skills. I run staffing companies. It's what I've done. I had 350 employees, $120 million staffing company. But in all these there were some powerful negotiations when I had to refinance the company, when I sold the company, all these things. I can imagine if I had a background in debate, no matter what level my career is, whatever it is, my career path, I think those skills are so transferable. Would you agree?
I absolutely would agree. I think that any participation in competitive speech and debate gives you skills that are transferable to any career path that you want. And frankly, Pete, it comes down to people having self-confidence. And when you're empowered to be the best advocate for yourself, it is really transformative. And so no matter what you want to do in life, you don't have to want to be a lawyer. And it's never too late to start participating in competitive speech and debate and honing those skills.
Oh, I love that. You know, early on in my career, I went to a Dale Carnegie course, you know, effective speaking and human relations. And I got bitten by it. I got eaten up by it. And I taught it for many years. Okay. I loved it so much. All the Dale Carnegie, the principles. But I noticed that people are afraid to get up and speak their mind, or they don't know how to prepare and be ready for not just a presentation. It could be a one-on-one sales presentation or a conversation. And that helped me. It's different than debate, totally different mm-hmm. than debating skills. But that was a vehicle that helped me. And I'm with you. It's never too late to pick up new skills. And debating skills, to me, I see that as just, I want to start doing some training on that. I really do. Seriously.
You give me a call anytime.
All right. Even though I'm older than dirt, I'd love to do it. Hey, so listen, I saw recently you were named to OBJ, Orlando Business Journal, 40 under 40. Congratulations.
Oh, thanks.
That's very prestigious. Tell me, what does that mean for you?
I was honored because the group of folks who were included in this year's list were really just exceptional leaders in our community. So it really meant a lot for me to be included. I know certainly my mom was very excited to see that I was included in that list. But I think it's a nice recognition, I guess, of putting in hard work and really being involved in the community and having that involvement on a level that allows people to see that you can change your community in a positive way, even if you are dedicated to a full-time career. And even if you have very little time, you can still make positive impacts. And so for me, the elusive work-life balance, I got rid of that notion years ago that was ever going to exist. I think people chase that unicorn. I say, hey, as long as it feels balanced, that's good enough. Even if maybe, quantitatively that time is never actually balanced.
Right. Well, you're a very successful person. You do so much. And, what I'd love now, I'm going to ask you this question. I ask all my guests this, and this is my time machine question. If you could go back in time and meet younger Tara, and maybe 19, 20 years old, and you just go up to your younger self and put your hand on your shoulder and look right in your eye and say, Tara, let me give you this bit of advice that's going to help you, whether it's career or otherwise. What advice would you give your younger self?
Girl, you need to calm down. That might be the advice I'd give myself, but I don't know. I feel like going 1,000 miles per hour is sort of part of the success. But it is difficult, and I feel for those who are right now starting their careers because it seems like the runway is so long to getting to retirement, right? I think everyone looks at their career like, I'm going to start, but I'm always thinking about when this career is going to be over. And I just think that's the worst way to approach your career, right? It's going to feel like a job to you if you don't like what you do, if you don't like the people that you work with. I'm fortunate that I absolutely love what I do, and I love the people that I work with. And I think that people can take their careers in their own hands and make it what they want it to be. If you don't like the way your career is now, then do something to change it, either internal to the place that you work or do something different. But it's never too late to start that path, I think, to success and to happiness. So I think I would go back and tell my younger self, get some more sleep, calm down. You don't have to do everything all the time, and learn when to say no sometimes. So you don't stretch yourself too thin. But I don't look back with any regrets on anything so far in my life or my career, fortunately. So it's been a good ride so far, Pete.
All right. Well, that's great advice from a wonderful person. Tara, if there are people out there maybe that need your advice or want to learn more about either the debate or want to learn more about your law practice and get a hold of you, is there some contact information or is there a way people can learn more or reach out to you?
Absolutely. So all of my contact information is on my firm's website. So if you go to Lowndes Law, you can find all of my contact information there. I answer my own phone. So when people call, sometimes they're shocked that I pick up on the second ring. I return calls on weekends and evenings. And so I am always happy to chat with individuals. And I like to think that I'm a good referral source. So even if it is not a practice area that I do, you don't have to be in the cannabis industry or hemp or alcoholic beverages or land development. But if you have questions on legal services, or even third-party ancillary service providers like great architects or engineers, I'm always happy to share that information with folks. And so feel free to email me, call me. I have no social media, no Facebook, no Instagram, TikTok, whatever else. I do have a LinkedIn though. So if you want to follow me, I tend to post information that's relevant to my industry, but I'm always happy to connect with folks in whatever medium is best for them.
Tara Tedrow, thank you for finally coming on my show. I got you. I hope you have a super rest of your day. And really, thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, and this next part of the show is one of my favorites. This is where we get a leadership lesson for all you managers that want to become effective leaders. Get out a pen and piece of paper and take down some notes, because I am pleased as punch to introduce again my weekly contributor, Larry O'Brien, as we like to call him Coach Larry. And this is this week's leadership lesson from Coach Larry.
I was interviewing for a new job and I made it past the initial job interview. I made it past the team interview and the job observation. Then I get a call one evening and I'm told to drop everything I'm doing, fly to Fort Lauderdale for an interview tomorrow, first thing in the morning. The regional manager is in town and he wants to meet me. Wow, this is big time stuff. We meet in a conference room. He talks at me for about 15 minutes and then he has two rapid fire questions for me. The first question was a math problem having to do with profit margin. Luckily, I got it right. Or maybe I got it wrong. I don't know, but he seemed satisfied and impressed with how quickly I answered. Then it was time for the culture fit question. He asked me, who is your favorite movie character and why? Oh, crap. I had no idea. Yoda? No, he's too green. Ferris Bueller? No. You know, he lives in the moment and he has his values in the right place. You know, he's wrong for this answer. Then I think and I just blurt out Braveheart. William Wallace. He's a leader. He's tough and fights for what's right. There's a long pause and he says to me, he's my favorite movie character. When can you start? What happened over the next year was that I was in a job where people battled every day. And everyone, clients, colleagues, and management was the enemy. People regularly competed to see who was the toughest, the baddest, the biggest risk taker. We constantly were surveying our territory and planning and scheming how to take over the empire. Now, if you think I'm speaking metaphorically, I'm not. The leader asked me the Braveheart question because he wanted to see if I could fit in with the team. I see this often in organizations that have a strong culture. They want someone who will fit in. They want someone who they would want to hang out with. Hiring managers tend to rely on their gut way too often when hiring. It's their voice in their head that says, you know, there's something about this tall fellow over here, someone tall like me, who went to the same college as I did, was in the same fraternity, and has the same hobbies that I do. That says to me that he's qualified for the job. Even more, he will be a perfect fit into our culture, and it's our culture that has made us successful after all. Wrong. Now, I'm not saying you should not consider your culture. Your culture very well may be the reason. But overemphasizing culture fit leaves you vulnerable to homogeneity. When you have homogeneity, people at your company most likely will get along. you most likely will have a culture of nice, where people care about each other, like each other, and spend time together. But you will lack in things like innovation, critical thinking, diversity of experience and thought that comes from hiring people who will add to the culture. So how do you go about looking for culture add? First of all, let's define what hiring for culture add means. According to Eli Montgomery, head of UX design for Cazoo, culture add means treating each candidate as capable of bringing something to the table and working to uncover and clarify what that is for your team. In other words, we need to look at our team and look for things each candidate can bring into the existing culture, either as a way to build skills and experience on the team or as a way to add new perspectives. Candidates also need to be very clear about the organizational values. The candidates should know what the company is about and what the expectations are. Now, how do you go about identifying what you're looking for from a culture add perspective? According to Montgomery, consider the following questions when evaluating candidates. Does this candidate bring something to the team that our culture might be missing? How might this candidate challenge our existing thinking and processes? Will this candidate represent a viewpoint or context we may be missing in the team? Does this candidate represent a voice or viewpoint for existing customers better than the team we already have? Does this candidate have skills or experiences that can transfer well into meeting the needs of the position? And as you create your structured interview questions, it's your role to ask the interview questions that will provide insight into the ability to add to your culture. Mendoza and O'Brien provides training on the structured interview process and reducing unconscious bias in the interview and selection process. Please check us out at www.mendozaandobrien.com.
Oh, another gem from Coach Larry. Guys, if you want to reach out to Coach Larry O'Brien, which I highly recommend you do, you can go to LinkedIn and look up Larry O'Brien and you'll see him pretty easy. Or you just go to mendozaandobrien.com. He delivers his programs in both English and in Spanish. He's in high demand. Reach out to Larry and he'll customize a program specially designed for you. All right, next part of the show is a lot of fun, a lot of laughs. It's brief this week because my friend doesn't have a whole lot of time. He said, it's going to be quick. This is where we get our Boston update from Boston Danny. Boston Danny loves to tell us about the fair city of Boston, likes to brag about his sports teams. He also gives shout outs. So if you have somebody you know that maybe has a birthday or an anniversary, or they accomplished something special and you'd like to give them a little special reward, just email me, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Very simple, Pete@PeteTheJobGuy.com. Send me an email, say, so-and-so has a birthday. Can you say happy birthday to him? I give that message to Boston Danny. And Boston Danny gives you a wicked piss-a shout-out straight from Boston like only Boston Danny can. With no further ado, let's get this week's Boston Update from Boston Danny.
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here, getting your northern update. Well, we still got the fall happening up here. Things are looking good. You know, we've had a pretty dry summer. We're pretty much in a drought up here, so we're waiting for the leaves to see what happens. You know, we had a couple good windstorms come crashing through here last week. It took down a bunch of trees, a lot of detours around town. But other than that, the weather's been perfect up here. Just great working weather for us hard workers, getting everything done. Could use a little bit more rain. We're just waiting for the cold weather to come down. You know, I've been looking at a couple of the almanacs, they're saying we're in for it this year again. We were pretty mild last year, but you know, come on up and taste it, guys. Try it a little bit. Put a jacket on and see what we're talking about up here. So, you know, our Patriots, they're looking pretty good. I thought they did pretty good against Kansas City defensively. Just goes to show you, Bill Belichick gets it going. So keep watching them. I'm glad for Tom Brady, what's going on with him. He's doing pretty good. NFC Player of the Week. You know, he likes to rack up those individual titles while being a team player, too. So he's just like all of us. So I hope you guys are all doing well down in Florida. Things are picking up around here. We're getting everyone's getting back to work. We just got to try to figure out how we can keep our restaurants open with the cold weather coming. Who wants to sit out on the sidewalk when the snow is coming down? But it's kind of funny. They're coming up with things like igloos and different kind of shelters that they're going to be getting us into having dinner and stuff. But we're still open. We're still doing it. And we're still having some fun with it. So get me a shout out. You know, this week we got a few. Remember, like I say, folks, it's your birthday. Do something nice for yourself if no one else will. And I want to wish a wicked pisser birthday to Vanessa Anderson, Troy Gibbs, Tom Kuhn, and Kathy Taylor. Get your shout-outs to us. Pete will get them up on the air, and we'll mangle them out for you. Everything else is doing well. Everyone's good. My grandson, we're having a good time with him. Just every day, it's just so different. He's just, you know, he'll be 16 months coming up, so that time is flowing, folks. I'm just surprised at how fast things are going by. So everybody, enjoy your weekend. Peter, I'll be in touch with you. Let me know what we can do. Remember the shout-outs for your first responders, your nurses, everyone that's keeping us safe, your doctors, and all of you military, retired and active duty. Keep doing what you do. We're proud of you all. Jacksonville, have a great weekend. I'll be in touch with your brothers and sisters. Pete, give me a ring. Bye.
Oh my gosh, all you hard workers, you did it. You just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. My guest this week was the world famous Tara Tedrow. Oh my gosh, did you hear? I mean, just go back and listen to this show again and again and again and again. She's pure magic, great advice, great information, and wow, I don't even know what to say. I'm glad she finally came on the show. Maybe I can get her to come on again, but I guarantee you we'll be planning it for 6 months out because you heard how busy she is. She got two practice areas of law. She's a professor. She's running a 501c3 to get debate into the schools. All of it is done successfully because that lady knows one speed. It's full throttle, and she's a winner. And I'm just pleased as punch she came on today. Guys, go out there. Have a magnificent week. I want you to be as effective and productive in your lives as possible. Have a great week. And you've just listened to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy on the all-new PTJG Broadcast Network.